We're also working on this Cincinnati Music Legends card deck with Justin Green and some apprentice artists at Artworks. So that took a bunch of time. So, well,
yeah, let's talk about that. Yeah, why don't you tell us, you said decks of cards, and we're talking a lot more than just 52, I take it.
They're going to be in sets of 40, and then it'll probably be four or five sets. So it'll be between 150 and 200 musical artists from Cincinnati, as well as like some of the clubs and radio stations that played an important part in Cincinnati music. You know, it can be anyone from Rosemary Clooney to most people in Cincinnati at least know, to Haven Gillespie, who was a songwriter and wrote Santa Claus is Coming to Town, or somebody like Hobo Jack Atkins, who kind of moved the town as a semi-established bluegrass and country artist, but then started this entire like Atco Records, which today is, I probably get an email once a month, somebody looking for old Atco Records.
ATCO, right?
ADCO.
Oh, ADCO. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
And so, you know, like this guy was just this fascinating guy to me. And somehow, 50 years later, I still get emails at the store of people looking for some of his old, you know, it's like this primitive bluegrass country stuff. There's not a whole lot that sounds like it. Like, it's just so peculiar. You know, to guys like Big Joe Duskin or Pigmeat Jarrett, my goal is to expose people to people they don't know, you know, and most people aren't going to sit and read a chapter on a book, but buy a little card deck, you know, it's got a 100-word bio on the back, like, well, this guy sounds pretty fascinating. I should go look it up. I mean, some of it you can only get streaming now. It's been out of print for years, but at least just getting people out there and exploring music and just stumbling across things and like following your own intuition. And
that seems to be something that, in my opinion, it seems that that's what people don't want to do anymore. It's like they don't want to dig and explore and hear new things.
Yeah.
I think the big thing now is the playlists, which you can go online and there's a bunch of tunes ready, sitting there ready for you. Just push a button and you hear, you know, a half hour, an hour's worth of tunes. You're talking about the exact opposite.
I know.
Go looking for somebody that no one's ever heard of
before.
Well,
so, you know, my goal is to hopefully package it with this beautiful artwork that we've created for it. And it's like a, you know, a little limited edition cool package. And so, you know, you get somebody who's genuinely interested in music and you hope that that's enough to make them, you know, spark a little interest in it. You know, so many times, like when I first started shopping, going into record stores, I would go in not knowing what it is I wanted. And I would just stumble across things. Like, I remember the first time I saw a Professor Longhair album, I was like, wow, that's, first of all, that's a really cool name. Like, what's this dude about? And I'm flip it over and it was called Professor Longhair Live on the Queen Mary. It was some kind of like European bootleggy kind of thing. And I'm reading the liner notes and it ended up being a live show that he was playing for Paul McCartney's, I think it was like his 40th birthday party or whatever. So kudos to Paul McCartney for having Professor Longhair flown to London to play the show. But I'm reading the liner notes, and in it they talk about how Fess would not play the show until he got paid. And everybody's like, you're going to get paid. He's one of the Beatles. He's got the money. Don't worry about it. And he was just like, I don't care. I just want my money first. And I was like, that's one of the most incredible gangster things. I want to get paid. I got to get paid before I go on stage. That's the deal. And so I bought it and I was like, oh my God, I've never heard anything like this. And that started my whole love with New Orleans music. And that's just a whole nother thing that I'm just fascinated with.
You know, you're putting your love of music into an actual tangible thing
You know? Hopefully, yeah. I mean,
and your love of obscure music, that's the very strange part of it.
But it's obscure now. It was huge then.
That's
Cowboy
true.
Copas isn't a huge name now, but in 1944, you couldn't get any bigger. He had made his mark. So, you know, you're going to have the Darren Blaze of 2040 come in, and you're going to say, now, who could possibly care about Katy Perry? And you're like, well, back then, Katy Perry was huge. She's not now.
So let me ask you a little more about these cards, right? These are decks of cards, and you're promoting with these cards. You're telling us about musicians and producers, writers, radio stations, all from the general Cincinnati area. So tell us about what the cards look like, what's on them.
The main artist was Justin Green, who I've had a friendship and working relationship with for about 20 years. He's an incredibly talented sign painter in town. He's also a comic artist. His wife, Carol, is also a very talented comic artist who just did an amazing book on the summer that she got to see the Beatles in Chicago called The Fab Four, which is out now. And so I started working with Justin on this project about 2 years ago. There'll be little 3x4 cards, color with a bio on the back, and a beautifully illustrated cardboard box. Each deck will have about 40 cards in it, 36 or 37 artists and producers, clubs, and then some informational cards and like where to find more information on these people and different record labels that you can check out to explore the sounds. When we had first started on it, Justin had developed a little bit of an eye ailment and his work really slowed, and I wanted to keep up the momentum. So we were able to get Artworks involved in the project, and they were able to give us a couple of super talented apprentices. And throughout the summer, we've been able to finish the first 36 cards, which will be in the deck. And then next summer, we'll do the next 40 cards, and then the summer after that, we'll do 40. And like I said, it'll probably end up being between 160 and 200 cards when we're done. And it's just kind of like random. The first deck will have Hobo Jack Atkins in it, but somebody's going to say, man, Albert Washington isn't in it. And I'm willing to take that criticism. I love Albert Washington, but I purposely just kind of pulled files and stuff like that.
Okay, so it's not going to be like, you know, stacking all the big names in the very first
box. No, it'll all be kind of scattered and everything. And then we were just trying to think, like, how contemporary are we going to make this? And I think it was the only time I really thought about who should be included in it.
Mm-hmm. But see, that is interesting. Where is the cutoff
point? Yeah,
because we've been talking about these artists from the 30s up through the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
Probably people listening right now will know some of the people from maybe the 70s and 80s and on.
Yeah.
Now, we were talking about King Records. Mm-hmm. Would you also, on these decks of cards, include more contemporary musicians, say Bootsy Collins, for instance?
Yeah, Bootsy actually did make it in. And I think we paired him up with his brother, Catfish. So they share a card together. And then I already started kind of putting files for the next one already. And like I was going through stuff the other night and I was like, oh, the Jockey Club.
How about someone like Adrian Belew, for instance?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. He's on the list. We're treating it as Northern Kentucky, probably up to like Hamilton. And our thing was, when do you say, what's the cutoff? What's Cincinnati enough?
Like, so not Ohio players, maybe.
No, probably not Ohio players, but Hamilton. You know, labels like Ruby and Joe Cannonball Lewis, who's an early rockabilly country guy who was huge at the time. You know, he's a footnote now, but he is from Hamilton. The Walker Brothers were from Hamilton. But, you know, we purposely is just like, well, Dayton's got its own thing, and then Cincinnati can have its own thing. Lonnie Mack's in it. You know, he is from basically the border of Indiana, Ohio. In Richmond, that's its own thing. And then Northern Kentucky, of course, you know, you got Adrian Belew and Bobby Mackey and stuff. So
I'd like to see what you would write about the old radio stations, too.
Because, sure, absolutely.
Because, you know, the call letters from all those stations are still around.
Yep.
Yet they represent today something completely
different. Oh, I know. I mean, I have thousands of the old play sheets.
Yeah, the surveys.
Yeah, the music surveys and stuff like that. It's just fascinating. AM radio at that time, it'd be Wilson Pickett and then Dusty Springfield and then Grand Funk Railroad and then Petula Clark. And then like, it's just this free for all and every song's just killer and great. And you're like, oh my God, it's a perfect mixtape. You know, it's just a different era.
Yeah, perfect mixtape that would never work on the airwaves today.
Would never fly today. Everything has to be dissected and tested and all that kind of stuff. So I never knew the competitiveness and the collectability of those things as like a subculture of people that just collected music surveys.
Well, I remember back in the day, I mean, it was like a blood war of top 40 between WSAI and WCPO. And people are going to say, what? CPO was a radio station?
Yeah. There's people that just collect the Beatles at number one on every single different music survey that they can find. We bought a big collection up in Boston, I don't know, 2 years ago or something like that. And the guy also collected music surveys, file cabinets full of them, you know, from all the New England radio stations. Mm-hmm. I just kind of started looking into the history of them, and I never knew that there was like that much of a world of guys that just collected that stuff.
We've been here with Darren Blaze from Shake It Records, who's a big-time expert on the Cincinnati music scene, not just from today, but from all in the past. So, Darren, thank you so very much for coming in and telling us about what's going on and all your work with the history of Cincinnati music. It's been appreciated by so many of us over the years.
Thanks,
man. And thanks for being here. Right. I'm Frank Johnson for WVXU.
Does his kiss really think it means? Are the words that he whispers true? Are you sure you understand the touch of his hand? Does his touch mean too much to you? Oh, maybe I could be wrong, but go slow, little fool, for it's said that love either finds you or love either blinds you to the danger of a heartbreak ahead.